Parshas Mishpatim, Parakov Beis Pasuk Lamed. This Pasuk, we all know it, and you've all heard it before. V'anshe Kodesh Tiyunli, you should be men that are holy to me. Basar Besada Trefa Lo Sochelu, you should not eat a trefa in the fields. Lekelev Tashlichun Oso, you should instead throw it to the dogs. That's what you do, throw it to the dogs instead. So the question is why we're sending this meat over to the dogs and not any other animal or other people. Really, it could have gone to anyone. Why is it specifically going to the dogs? What did they do to deserve this? Rashi answers, saying that a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't take away the schar from any creature for everything they do when an animal does something that deserves something, so that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to give it schar. Since it says no dog barked or wagged its tongue at Bnei Yisrael all night long, lo yecharetz kelav l'shono, lo Bnei Yisrael lo yecharetz kelav l'shono, when they were leaving in Parshas Bo, so therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu rewarded the dog for its great behavior and it allowed it to happen. Targum Yonasan says it very clearly. He says besitre. He adds on the word besitre, which means as its reward. That was the reward that it got, the great reward that it got. There is a Gemara in Bava Kama Samach Mabez. That Gemara says that dogs go crazy when the Malach Mavis comes into the city. The Malach Mavis comes into the city and they start barking like crazy. They know that the Malach Mavis came into the city. So it makes sense that on the night of Makas Bechoros, when the Malach Mavis was there, that they would start barking. Now granted, I know, Ani Yotze B'soch Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went through Mitzrayim, there was no Malach Mavis, right? But I gave a shiur on this a couple years ago. We gave 21 answers as to why the difference between those two. It's not for right now. But suffice it to say, there was a Malach Mavis, what's called the Mashchis by the Pasuk was there, therefore the dogs should have barked. There should have been barking that you heard from them over there. They wouldn't, they didn't do so, and in honor of the Jews, because they didn't do so, therefore we give them a reward. The dogs get a reward. Fine, that's the easy answer, that's the pashut answer as to why the dogs are being rewarded over here. They should have barked, they didn't. It could also be that they were silent when the Jews left Egypt. The god of Egypt that was left in Mitzrayim was Baal Tzephon. Baal Tzephon was supposed to be, according to the Midrashim, the picture of a giant dog. One of the gods of Mitzrayim was supposed to be a dog, and this was the representation of the giant dog. It was the god of gold, and it was something of riches, etc., and things like that, but it was supposed to look like a dog itself. Now, what would happen is it prevented the Jews from leaving. It literally barked at the Jews. That's what this dog did. It would bark at the Jews or anybody else that tried leaving and try to get rid of them to make sure that it didn't happen. Here, as Bnei Yisrael were trying to leave, nothing happened. The dogs did not bark. They were able to get through without any problems whatsoever. It was truly unexpected, miraculous. They were able to leave without any of those issues affecting them. That was the beauty behind this over here. Rabbeinu Ephraim says something a little bit different. Our third answer is to what the reward is. Rabbeinu Ephraim says when the Jews were taking the money away from the Egyptians before they left, their dogs, the Egyptians' dogs, that should yell at anybody. We all know, you go by somebody's house, they bark at you, try to make sure you don't get in. These dogs did not bark at them when they were taking away all the money, when they were approaching the houses. The dogs did not bark or harass them in any way, and because they didn't do that, that's why they're being rewarded. So three reasons altogether. The Medrash Gadol says a fourth reason. The dogs were busy. During Makas Bechoros, they were sent to drag up the bodies of those firstborn that had already died and buried during the first nine Makos. They dragged the bones out of the grave, brought it to the houses. I'm assuming some of the skin and flesh was left so they would be able to recognize that there was their Bechor, right? And then ate the bones in front of their family, which is absolutely disgusting. And I apologize for anybody who was eating at this time. I do apologize for that. But regardless, but they did that. Since they were too busy chewing on the bones, they weren't able to say anything. There was nothing they were able to do. And because of that, we said, lo yecharetz kelav v'shono, they weren't able to bark, and therefore they got the reward to have these types of bones, this nevela instead. In Pesachim Daf Chaf Beis, we say that the dog is actually being honored more than a non-Jew is. By a non-Jew, you have to sell him a nevela. The trefa is given for free to the dog. It's sent to the dogs as his gift. Yes, Fryam, what are you going to say? That's a great call. Dever, according to the Medrash, Hoya B'mikne, it seems to be only on the cattle, meaning it would affect the cattle, the sheep, the goats, the donkeys, and the livestock, the camels and things like that. But it did not affect pigs, and it did not affect the dogs. That's what it seems. The reason why not pigs, we all know, the reason why not pigs is because pigs have an immune system and an innard system that's very similar to a human being's. If you have a plague by the pigs, it can very easily spread to human beings. By the dogs, I'm assuming because they were so close to the human beings, the dogs were all around the people, therefore it was problematic if it would have been by the dogs. But it's a great call. According to that medrash, there was no plague on the dogs, and all the dogs survived Makas Dever. I wonder, by the way, if they were around by Makas Choshech, if they were the ones, if they were also silenced and frozen during Makas Choshech, because otherwise there would have been great guard dogs against the Jews. That would have been another thing that sort of you could say by the Rabbeinu Ephraim itself. The Ibn Ezra says, the treifa is so accessible, where anybody can just grab a treifa, something that's obviously not going to be able to be used, not going to be able to be shechted. If a poor person sees something like that on the ground, he might think that he can go and eat it and take it for himself without any problems. So the pasuk comes and tells us, no, you can eat certain things, but you can't eat the others. We're not allowed to have a treifa at all. Instead, it should be thrown to the dogs. Then he says, why the dogs? Asks the Ibn Ezra. You know why? Because the dogs help you tend the sheep. That's why it says, la kelev tashlichuno so. La means the special dog. It's as if it says, li ha kelev, to the dog. That's what la kelev means. It means it's a dog that you know, that you've been aware of, that you know all everything about this dog. What does it mean? What does it refer to? It refers to the dogs that helped you wherever you went, and whenever you went anywhere, these dogs were there to help you tend the sheep and the cattle. And therefore, it's the opposite way. Since they helped you now, you should throw them the treifa. Nothing to do with what happened in Mitzrayim. Nothing to do with the fact that the dogs didn't bark at you when you were in Mitzrayim. The real reason that they're being rewarded is because what they're doing now, how they're helping you right now, sort of like a hakara satov type of thing over here. That's the concept behind it. And the idea behind it also is that a treifa might have a type of poison inside it. We don't see this poison nowadays, but a treifa, right, that has this type of an issue inside, a dog will be able to stomach it, while a human being might not. That's why you don't give it to a non-Jew. You don't want to poison the non-Jew. Rather, you give it to the dog. The dog's stomach will be able to handle, which is weird, because the dog's stomach can't handle a lot of things like chocolate that human beings can handle. But apparently, this is good enough for that. Now, the Das Kanim, the Chizkuni, and the Netziv all say the same. Your dog not only helps you, it's willing to be Moser Nefesh for you. Your dog is willing to do anything. If there are sheep that are in trouble, and there's a lion or a wolf or whatever it is, the dog, your guard dog, is going to go after it and take care of it and make sure that nothing bad happens to it. So therefore, you should give back to it. It's such a good shomer. Encourage it to do it again. Encourage it to do so in the future. So that Akara Satov, you give back to the dog. Again, the same idea. These are Rishonim. They're all saying the same idea. It has nothing to do with what happened in Mitzrayim. It has to do with what's happening now. The Malbin seems to combine these two pshatim. He says, not only do we owe Akaras HaTov to our guard dogs nowadays, but there were dogs in Egypt who were well known to watch their master's sheep, especially since dogs were domesticated at that time. They were domesticated and they were taken care of by the Egyptians themselves. They were taken care of. They were the ones who were helping the Egyptians do everything they can. Since we see what dogs are like nowadays helping us, then we know how much they must have helped the Egyptians in the past, and therefore we're able to say to ourselves, wow, we owe more Akaras HaTov for the fact that they didn't bark when we were in Mitzrayim. It's from what we see now, it helps us understand what happened back then. That's the reward that we have over here, that the dogs allowed us to do so even though they shouldn't have, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them to have the treifas. That's the idea behind it. Now, there may be a nafkamina between those two answers. If you go like Rashi, and the answer to the question, the reason why the dogs are given the treifas is because of what happened in Mitzrayim, versus the Ibn Ezra, that it goes with dogs that we have right now, Kasha is, do you throw a treifa to any dog, or do you have to throw it to your dog? Because if you're saying it's a karas atov for what you have now, your dog helps you with your sheep, your dog is whatever it is, then it's about your dog. It's not about someone else's. So the treifa would have to go to your dog. You can't give it to your neighbor's dog. You can't give it to something else. You'd have to give it to your dog for its hakaras hatov. But if it's referring to the dogs that didn't bark for us in Mitzrayim, then any ancestor of that, any progeny of those dogs would be able to get that reward. I could give it to any dog out there. It wouldn't matter if it's my dog or someone else's dog. It shouldn't make a difference whatsoever. Prime, what are you going to say? That's a great kasha. It's brought down by the Rishonim, whether or not it's a mishnah, a mitzvah, to be able to lakel of tashlichuno, so they actually send it in. The sense is according to everybody. The Rambam doesn't mention it. The Smag doesn't mention it. The Smak doesn't mention it. It seems to have not been a mitzvah. The question is why. I don't get into it, but the Paris Yosef has a little bit on it. There's a couple other svarim that went into it, but regardless, the answer is no. The answer is there's no mitzvah. Yeah, because once again, it's an afkamina, it's right. But the fact is, when it comes into it, what you can throw it to, seemingly that's the machlokus between this over here. There may be another reason to throw this meat over to the dogs. There could be another reason for it. Tosefes Bracha says the dogs are the poorest of all animals in Shabbos Kufin and Heyom Abayz. Who's the richest of all animals? Anybody know?
Lion.
Not the lion. The lion can't eat everything. What can eat everything?
Goats, rats.
Goats is a good call. I would have said a goat. That's 100% true. A pig. A pig has the ability to everything. Kufnu and Heyom Abayz, they are known as the richest of all animals, and the poorest of all animals is the dog. The dog. Why? I don't know. apparently they have stomachs that cannot handle a lot of things. Now, we just said up above that dogs are able to handle everything, that they're able to do trefas even though others couldn't. So I don't know what this means exactly, but according to this idea from the Tosafos Bracha, I should really say from the Gemara, Shabbos Kufnin Heyam Aveis, it seems that it's completely different. They're picky about what they want to eat, and maybe it's different. Maybe the hybrids of domestic dogs that we have nowadays, you know, there are thousands of different types of domestic dogs, all the different names and everything for it. But the real dogs that they all came from back in the day, maybe those dogs were different from the domestic dogs that we have today. Maybe it's different. I'm sorry? I don't know. Honestly, I have absolutely no idea. But it says, because of that, it could be, and the Gemara even says that food remains in the dog's stomach for 3 days. So that if it doesn't find the food that it wants, it's able to hold the food inside and it doesn't get starving. It won't starve. Maybe we throw meat to the dog for this reason, says the Tosafos Bracha. Not as a karas hatov, for either what it did in Mitzrayim or what it's doing for us nowadays. Forget about those reasons. Says to Tosafos Bracha, we throw it food because they're going to starve otherwise. If we don't give them meat, they're going to be too picky to eat and they're going to die if we don't give them the food. Says to Tosafos Bracha, if Hashem is makpid about their food, like Kel of Tashlichon Oso, to give them the trefa, then we should be the same as well and we should have mercy on all dogs. I don't know if this is halacha that Tosafos Bracha is trying to say or it's just an idea that he's trying to say, but it happens to be an amazing idea. Should you throw food to a feral dog that you see in the street? Do you have a requirement to throw a treifa? If you happen to have a treifa in your house, do you have a requirement to throw it in there? Now, again, we didn't say it's a mitzvah, but it does say lakelav tashlichon oso, which sounds like you should throw it to a dog. So what should you do with that? It's a bit of a shiloh. I don't know what the Tosafos Bracha is trying to say over here. We obviously don't hold this way, but it is a little bit strange. The Malbim continues, dogs and other animals are not able to receive rewards for the good and the bad that they do. We know that, right? Dogs can't receive rewards whether they choose to do good or choose to do bad. They don't really have bechira, right? But we can learn from them. If Hashem is willing to reward a dog that's just doing what its instincts are telling him to do, God is saying, don't bark at this moment, and the dog doesn't choose not to bark, it just doesn't bark, and yet it gets rewarded. If we choose to do good, certainly we'll be rewarded. The idea is that we should have a kal v'chomer from the dog. But to that, you got to really go into it. Is there a doggy heaven and a doggy gehenim? Right? Is there such a thing? Do doggies get that Gan Eden? So the funny thing is, I've been asked this question at least 10 times by dog and cat owners. Is my dog and cat going to Gan Eden with me? And I usually, I don't say it to them, I say it to people afterward. If you're asking me if your Gan Eden will not be complete without your dog and cat, I hear you. Maybe you're going to get your dog and cat. It's possible. Maybe you'll get your dog and cat because that's all you can do. The only time that it does mention that you're going to have dogs with you in Gehenna is not a really good situation. If you know what I'm talking about, then you know what I'm talking about. I don't have to go into it, but it's really not such a good situation to have a dog following you throughout wherever you go after a person dies. That is, suffice it to say, just not a good idea. That's something you want to stay away from. But what is it? Is there a dog you haven't? So Rav Sadia Gaon in Ha'emunos Vadeos says there is a concept of reward and punishment by animals. There is something like that. The Radak says the same in Malachim Aleph Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Chaf Ches. But Mori Nevuchim, the Rambam says, of course, the Rambam, Chelek Gimel Perek Yud Zayin, says we have never heard of a reward given to animals in anything in our religion. We've never heard of such a thing, of animals being rewarded. And the Chachmei HaTalmud don't mention it at all, he says. Although there are some Gaonim that say that it exists. Gaonim, he would be referring to as Rav Sadia Gaon, and maybe some of the other Gaonim around there, it would be around there. Hold on, Jake, before you ask the question. He says like this, the problem is that we have this pasuk. There is a clear Maimar Chazal that says that the dogs are being rewarded for not barking at us in Mitzrayim. It's a reward. It says straight out, they're getting the schar because lo yacharetz kelev lashono. And it says it's schar. So that's a strange pella. The Rambam didn't mention that Maimar Chazal. But it's not only that. What happened to the Tzvardeya? Those frogs that jumped into the oven. We all know what happened. They were rewarded to have Tchias HaMesim, and they were the only ones that lived. Every other frog died, but the frogs that jumped into the oven were the ones that lived. That was the reward for being Moser Nefesh in some way, right, when they were in Mitzrayim. That's another Maimar Chazal. That's a Gemara. As we're going on, there's also Midrashim about the animals that made it onto the Teva. What animals made it onto the Teva? Bracious Rabba says the animals that were together with their own min. If they were together with another min, then they were killed. But if they were only together with their min, they made it onto the Teva. That seems to be that there's a reward for good behavior for the dogs, or for any animal. Targum Yonason, in Parshas Noach Parakes Pasikei, says that any animal that kills a person will be punished by Hashem. If there is such an animal that kills a person, it'll be punished by Hashem. But why? There's no Bechira. If there's no Bechira over here, according to what the Rambam's saying. The Abarbanel mentions that as well. There are Midrash about Kisui Adam. Anybody remember the Midrash about Kisui Adam? Why we only cover the blood of birds and wild animals, birds and chayos, but not of behemos? Because what happened with Rivka, that there was dam that was lost, and the birds and the chayos watched over it. There's another Midrash brought over there in Parshas Chayisara toward the very, very end. It's clear that there are rewards over here. So, I don't know what to tell you. It seems clear to me that there are Maimari Chazal that talk about reward and punishment by animals. Is there actual Bechira? I don't know. I don't know how to translate that. There is a famous Rav Schwab on this in Parshas B'Shalach about not the animal specifically, but about the Yamsuf in general. I don't know what to tell you. Seemingly there wouldn't be, but there's so many other places. If you want to check out in Sefer HaChassidim, in the Makor Chassid on page Kuf Zayin, page 107 in the most center of Kuf Sefer HaChassidim, he brings this down, and he brings down all the different things. I don't know what to tell you. I if somebody's going to ask me if there's doggy heaven, I'm going to say, yeah, I think. I don't know what to tell you, but the Rambam says no. The Rambam says no. So whatever, right? This is not like a Psak Halacha. For some reason, it didn't make it into the Yad Chazaka. So I can't tell you anything. Jake, does that answer your question? The snake, the Nachash, but I don't know if you can mention the Nachash because the Nachash was a human-like creature, so to speak, because it walked and it talked and it did everything else. If the snake was only a snake, yes, then you're 100% right.
It seems, at least from the examples that you brought, that they weren't individual reward and punishment, it was for the whole cloud.
That's a good call. Yeah, that it went for, by the entire animal. But either way, animals get
no,
something.
No, it doesn't mean that they're... So the whole cloud might be given something.
I hear what you're saying.
It doesn't mean the individual animal is going to...
I hear what you're saying. It definitely could be true. Definitely could be true that it's only by the cloud, not by the prat. In other words, not by individual animals. It's just weird. It's just weird that the Rambam says there's no Maimer Chazal on it. Say that there's no Maimer Chazal on any of this and we never heard of this before. That's weird wording. It's strange wording. Now again, Mori Nebuchadnezzar was translated from Arabic into Hebrew. It could be that the person who translated it just threw it in there. And maybe there's a mistranslation. I don't know. I've never been through the Arabic version of Mori Nebuchim and what it says. So I'd have to see that and see it inside. And I'm not learning Arabic anytime soon, so it's not happening. So either way, I'm going to leave with that question. Either way, the Chafetz Chaim says that the lesson is pretty darn clear. If an animal gets rewarded for watching its mouth and tongue and not barking when it could have barked, certainly we're going to be rewarded for not speaking Lashon Hara about other people. And I think that's obvious. Where would the Chafetz Chaim have said such a thing? Probably in his Sefer of Shmiras HaLashon, right? It makes sense that he'd say that. If a person does speak Lashon Hara, then he's degraded himself to be lower than a dog. A dog understands when to stay quiet. A dog understands not to bark when it's not supposed to bark. How could you not stay quiet when you're supposed to stay quiet? That's the lesson that the Chafetz Chaim says over here. The person who speaks Lashon Hara doesn't get it. He's willing to say whatever he wants whenever he wants. That we cannot allow. That's not something that we should do. Can you imagine? Says Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. The ramifications of this Maimer Chazal, what comes out from this Maimer Chazal? Hundreds of generations of dogs have come into the world since those original dogs. In fact, I remember I don't know if anybody's been to the St. Louis Science Museum. In the Science Museum in St. Louis, I don't know if they still have it, on the bottom floor there's like this little thing where they have like this kids area, like a little children's thing. I remember when I was a kid, maybe 9, 10, 11 years old, I don't remember, but I remember going there and seeing this whole long line of books, like almost encyclopedias, right? And they did, your dog is that dog's father's 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 father, and literally 15 books worth of father's 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 father's, going all the way till the very end to the original dog. Yeah, it was a massive, massive waste of paper. But I got the lesson. I totally got it. I may have been the only person to ever open up books in the middle of a science museum kids section. It's possible. But I was the one that got that lesson, and I got it. Because there are all these generations. And can you imagine this? Because a couple of Egyptian dogs were like, and they remained silent. And they kept themselves quiet. Every dog for the rest of time gets rewarded. The whole min gets rewarded for one little tiny thing, says Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. A person who has Bechira and makes a real Kiddush Hashem and does amazing things. Not only does that reward you and your children, your progeny, it goes for everyone. Everyone gets rewarded. If one dog can affect every dog, then certainly one person can affect every person in the world. That's the concept, says Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, that you can learn. On the other hand, he points out, there's another reward given to donkeys. I don't remember what the reward given to donkeys is. The donkeys came out of Mitzrayim carrying our gold and our silver and everything that we needed when we left Mitzrayim. So the donkey was rewarded that the firstborn donkey of any, the Bechor donkey, has a Pidyon Peter Chamor. It has a kedusha to it. And you have to redeem it for a sheep. Obviously, we only have that by cows, by sheep, by goats, by kosher animals. You don't have it by a non-kosher animal, but the donkey has it. Why does the donkey have it? Because of what happened over here. Because of the fact that it brought things out of Mitzrayim. So hold on. I don't get it. A dog doesn't bark for us. Doesn't bark. So it gets a reward of what? It gets trefas. It gets a trefa whenever it is. Meaning it becomes a little bit more tame. A very gashmi type of reward. A donkey carries our stuff out of Mitzrayim. And it gets rewarded with pidyon petach hamor. It gets rewarded with kedusha. That there's a kedusha that's added on for donkeys. What's the pshat? Why do donkeys get kedusha while dogs get tuma? What's the pshat? What's the difference between the two? What were you going to say? They took out the gashmias of Mitzrayim. That's good. That's good.
And the dogs were also, it was
helping us at the time of, well, I can't say Kedusha. But I hear you, yeah, 100%, but at least the donkeys, right? You had that. So what's the difference? He says it's obvious. This is the obvious of the Rishas Obershin. It's obvious. The donkey carried out our loads and did something. When you do something, then you get rewarded spiritually. If you just don't do something physically, if you don't do something in Gashmias, meaning you don't bark, then your reward is simply Gashmias. Meaning, not doing something is not as great as getting up and doing something. Getting up and doing something gives you a strong reward. Not doing something is something where it's sort of like, whatever. You get something, but not anything so great. That's the concept he says over here. That's the idea behind this. And it shows you, there's a difference between getting up and doing something, moving and helping someone, versus not hurting someone. Not hurting someone is good. That's great. It's an amazing thing. But that's not as great as getting up and actually helping someone. That's the concept over here. The Bala Turim adds on, he says, really you should say, Lakelev Tashlichu Oso. You should really write it as Tashlichu. There's a nun at the end, Tashlichun. There's a big nun at the end. And some, in some Chumashim, you're going to see the nun is an extra big nun. Not in our Chumashim, it's not one of our extra big letters, but it says it over there. Now why Tashlichun? What's the nun? He says, you should keep a nevela 50 amos away from a city, based on Bava Vasa or Chafei. Now, it makes a lot of sense. You keep an avela or a trefa. I know we're talking about trefas here, but it says you keep an avela 50 amos away. Now, why 50 amos away? Well, it makes sense. You don't want wild animals and vultures and all those animals hanging out around your city. If you put it right by your city, then vermin, rats and mice and whatever, and all the vultures and whatever, all these hyenas, coyotes, whatever, they'll come out and they'll eat the animal. They're going to come right near your city. They're going to get used to being near your city. They think that they're going to get food there. They're going to be hanging around. So keep it far away. Keep it as far away as you can. 50 amos is a good place to be able to put it. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, this could explain why the pasuk says, tashlichun oso. What do you mean tashlichun? Throw it to the dogs. Don't throw it to the dogs. Put it down in front of the dogs. What does that mean? Put it down right in front of the dogs. Just give it to them. What's the pshat? And he says, in Shabbos Kufnun Hama Beis, it says, the Gemara says, it's normal to throw stray meat to dogs. That makes sense. But you should never do so in a city where the animals are going to start hanging out around you. So here's the pshat. Never throw meat to dogs right next to you. Because dogs will hang around you, and they might hurt you, or they might do something to you. Other dogs might come, whatever it is. Tashlichu noso. Throw it away to your dogs. In other words, let the dogs have it, but bring your dogs outside of the city, throw it 50 amos away, let the dogs eat it there, and they'll come back when they're done. If they find you, whatever. But don't throw it anywhere near you so that you don't get surrounded by this. I see people all the time. When I'm walking, you know that I have a long walk, so when I walk on Shabbos, I see people all the time feeding the ducks and geese. There are thousands of ducks and geese that are sitting over there because the geese don't realize that it's winter here again. So they keep coming back. They're messed up. They're totally messed up. Ducks apparently don't care about winter. And they're sitting there and these people are throwing them food and they're surrounded by them. And they think it's really cool. I honestly think this is like Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds and I'm ready for somebody to die. I'm just waiting for something like that to happen. There are hundreds of them and they're all really, really scary. I walk by them all the time. They turn to me, they go like, ah, and I'm just like, no, stay away. Like I'm ready to fight them with like my karate chops. I'm ready to go. That it's scaring me. It does scare me a little bit. The concept is, if you're going to throw the food away. Throw the food that way. Give them food. That's fine. Whatever you want to do with ducks and geese. I'm sure they're fine. But if you want to feed them, go ahead. But don't throw it by you. Don't like put it on your feet. They'll eat your feet. They'll eat your feet. It's never happened yet. I know. But you never know. Just want you to be scared. Just want you to know. I'm looking out for it. So when you guys hear about that first duck or geese attack, right? You'll be like, what is everyone doing? I'm like, yeah. That's right. I'll be very, very happy. I'm sorry? It says don't feed. Well, that's because those are rats. Those are just rats with wings. That's why you don't feed pigeons. Yeah, 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 you can't do that. They're literally, I don't know that. Like in Eretz Yisrael, do you feed the cats? No, I mean, they're not actual cats. You know that, right? Yeah, they're either messed up Gilgulim, which I would never, this is like the worst thing that I've ever seen before in my life. Either totally messed up Gilgulim, where, I don't know, it's got to be, you have to be really evil to be a cat in Eretz Yisrael. Or it could be, it very well could be. Or they're just massive rats that grew a little bit of an extra long tail and like had a little bit extra fur, right? A little bit extra. That's all they are. I don't think they're anything. I think we all agree that cats in Eretz Yisrael are not like cats in America. Hey, actually, I don't like cats here either. They're all rats. That's fine. Right? I have no problem with that whatsoever. But that's the concept. In Remez, Toras Chaim Vamuna says that he brought a story of the Rebbe of Navona, who was told by a posek that a certain food would be mutter to eat. And he said, okay, you say it's mutter to eat, you eat from it first. And the Rebbe said, no, I don't necessarily want to eat from it. He said, then how can you eat from something? You're paskening it's mutter, but you refuse to eat from it? How could that be? How could you say that it's mutter for other people? It's hinted to over here. If you're going to do it lo soklu, if you wouldn't eat it, so to speak, when it says, basar b'stei treifa lo soklu, if you won't eat it, if you yourself as a posek would not eat it, lekelav tashlechuno so, go throw it out to the dogs. Now, I know. What do you mean? A posek might be able to say, I would be machmir, but you could be makel. I totally get that. I totally understand that. Apparently, he didn't like that idea. Apparently, he didn't like it. Was that what you were going to ask?
Yeah,
the basic idea. I hear you. I'm just saying what he said. The idea of the remez still applies. That lo soklu, if you're not going to eat it, like kelo tash lechuno so, then throw it to the dogs itself. That's the idea behind it. Now, Bala Turim explains, smichas aparshios. The reason why these two parshios are together, it says, like kelo tash lechuno so, and says lo siso shem hashav, that it says right afterward that you can't speak Lashon Hara. It says that anyone who speaks Lashon Hara will be thrown to the dogs. It's based on a Gemara in Pesachim, Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Midrash Rabbah says this as well. Sefer Acharedim and Perek Lamed Gimel says it a little bit differently. Sometimes a person who speaks Lashon Hara will be brought back as a dog. We just talked about Gilgulim into messed up cats, right? These guys will have Gilgulim into dogs, as well as someone who eats Basar Trefa. If you constantly eat Basar Trefa, then it will be brought back as a dog, or if you feed it to other Jews. He says it's hinted to within this Maimer Chazal. That's what it means, Lakelev Tashlichuno. So, you'll be thrown to the dogs. Does not mean you'll die by the dogs, but rather you'll be thrown to a dog. Your neshama will be put inside the neshama, or whatever, the nefesh of a dog. And it's hinted to in a pasuk in Tehillim, Chaf Beis Chaf Aleph. It says, Hatzila Mecharev Nafshi, save me from the sword against my soul, Miad Kelev Yechidasi, from the Kelev Yechidasi. And then it says, Asapra Lashim Kalachoy, because I only use my tongue to say good things. Therefore, I'm not going to be punished to be a dog. What were you going to say, Ben?
The Lashon Hara is because they bark.
I would assume because of the barking, yeah. But the word of Lekelev Tashlichuno So, this is the famous line. Shach says the same. Someone who is not careful about eating properly shechted meat will be brought back as a dog who eats that meat, and that's your punishment. Because by a dog, that's not usher. So if you don't eat it properly, that's the thing. But even worse, it's possible that someone who owns who eats a treif on purpose, lahachis, will be punished with death by angry dogs. That's mamish, lakelev tashlichuno so. That if he mamish does it lahachis, that he goes there, he has a, here's lahachis. Lahachis is not, there's a burger at McDonald's for $1, there's a burger at Ken's for $12. Okay, so I have both, and I'm going to get the $1 burger. That's not lahachis, that's lis avos, that's taiva, because you want to spend less money, which makes sense. It's not where the Ken's burger is this good, but the non-kosher burger is that much better. Well then, 100%, that's taiva, that's what you're doing it for. Lahachis means you have two burgers in front of you. A guy comes up to you and he says, I have a not kosher burger and I have a kosher burger. They taste the same. They cost the same price. You make a decision. The guy says, I'm taking the treif burger because I don't care. That could be lahachas. That could be lahachas. And if a person does that, that's when he gets torn apart by angry dogs. Okay, that's the concept, says the Shach, of what happened. And Yalkut Shimoni Shinnun Beis and Yerushalmi Trumas Parchas says, there was once a butcher who fed treifas to his fellow Jews. One time it was Erev Yom Kippur, and certain one medrash I saw was Erev Shabbos. He got drunk. Erev Yom Kippur. That's what we all do, right? He got drunk and fell off a rooftop, and he died. By the time they saw that he had died, it was already Yom Kippur or Shabbos. There were dogs that came and were lapping up his blood. So they came to Rabbi Chanina. This is Rabbi Chanina, the friend of Rabbi Chia, the one early Amora, late Tana. They came to Rabbi Chanina and they asked, can we move his body? Can we move the body to get it away from the dogs on Yom Kippur? And he quoted these psukim. He said, these psukim, Lakelev Tashlichuno So, claiming this man had stolen meat from the dogs. He had stolen meat from the dogs because he took the treifas that should have been going to the dogs and he fed it to fellow Jews. And because he served them to Jews, his punishment was to be eaten by the dogs. That's what Rabbi Chanina said. Pretty harsh, right? That's not a bad heart. That's pretty harsh. Thus, this trefa became taraf, loosely translates into taraf, is food. So the trefa became taraf. And that's what he paskined. Rabbi Hanina paskined, that's what you should do. You should leave him over there. Now, that's amazing. As you know, as a timeout over here, there is an extremely similar Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. And I didn't look into it at all because I didn't have enough time. But by David HaMelech, when David HaMelech passed away, everybody knows he was learning. And the Malacham Avos came, and it was Shabbos and Shavuos. Malacham Avos came, and he was killed because the Malacham Avos made a sound or made him trip over a step or whatever it is, right? So he ended up dying from that. And Shlomo HaMelech went to the Beis Medrash and asked two questions. What were the two questions? Does anybody know? There you know? It's strange. Am I allowed to move my father's body out of the sun? And can I feed the dogs of my father's house? It's really weird because it sounds like the dogs might have eaten the body of David HaMelech and he wanted to get away the body from the dogs. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. There was one chait of David HaMelech that we all know of. It's mentioned in Shabbos Daf Nun Heima Beis that he was mekabel Lashon Hara, that he accepted Lashon Hara. So I don't know if that is any shaykhus to this at all, but I find it to be a strange gemara. I just didn't look it up enough. Torah Tumimi quotes Hagos, Hashri, and Chulin, really based on the Orzeruah that says, if someone is caught selling treifas, if somebody is caught selling treifas and dies before doing tshuva, this is halacha. This is brought down in halacha. Hagos, Hashri, and the Orzeruah are both halacha. You cannot bury the man. You can't bury the man, even if dogs are eating his body. And he learns it, obviously, from this Yerushalmi. But that's so strange. This Yerushalmi does not say that you shouldn't bury him. Yerushalmi says this happened and now it was Yom Kippur and they didn't want to move his body when it's already Yom Kippur or Shabbos. That's what it says. But it doesn't say don't bury him ever. They paskin that you don't bury him. It's unbelievable. Plus, isn't there a lav of Halanas Ameis? We say that you can't leave a dead body overnight, right? We can't leave it. Now, if it's Shabbos and Yom Kippur, okay, I get it. But there's an Isser of Halanas Meis. It's mentioned in Parsha Ki Tse. You're not allowed to leave it overnight. How can you do it? Even by a Rasha, you're not allowed to do it. And especially because that Pasuk is talking about a Rasha. If V'chiyish be'ish chet mishpah mavis, if a guy is supposed to die, v'humas, and he's put to death by Sanhedrin, to lisos alei, to hang him up on a tree, because he deserved to die, nonetheless, you can't leave him up on a tree. So it's a Rasha, and he's not allowed to be left up on a tree. So why in the world over here are we allowing him to be left up over here? Even when Chizkiah dragged his father's bones through the streets to embarrass him, he still buried his father. It's just strange that you would learn out this halacha from there. So the Torah Shlema says, this is an Orzua Lishitasa. This is what the Orzua paskins. He says you cannot bury a Rasha who dies based on this Yerushalmi. It's all Lishitasa. There is no Rasha that can be buried if he dies before doing tshuva, according to this Yerushalmi, says the Orzua, which is a Pella. Absolute Pella. A Rasha who passes away before his time, right, doesn't do tshuva, we don't do anything. But we all like the Rashba. Brought in the Beis Yosef in Shin Lamed Daled in Yoredeya that says you are required to bury a Rasha, and so too over here, you would have to move the body to take it away from the dogs, right, no matter what he did. Doesn't matter. So what Rabbi Hanina said, and what did Rabbi Hanina say when he said, leave it for the dogs, etc., maybe in that case, says Shaus Yuz B'Saman Rosh, maybe he was making a whole Ross Shah. Maybe it was like, just for now. This guy was so evil, we're going to leave him. Maybe it was for that. But Rabbi Hanina never meant for it to be taken in the future. He never meant for that to be the official psak. That is not how we paskin. That's not the halacha. The halacha is you definitely take him out of the out from the dogs, and you definitely bury him. So nobody here should worry. Okay? That should be okay. What were you going to say, Ash? You had a question? Okay, so that's answered. So that's that. The Alshich. I got into this, and I'm not positive I'm translating this correctly, because it's the Alshich. And Moshe Alshich, again, lived 500 years ago, not a Talmud of the Arizal, lived around the times of the Arizal with all the other Mekubalim and Tzvas. He's buried in the Tzvas Cemetery, if you go down, right over there. I mean, we're talking, what he writes is just, says, the dogs wouldn't bark, even though their barking wouldn't have been considered Lashon Hara, would not have been anything Asur, but they still wouldn't do it. So he says, similar to the Chavetz Chaim, people should have learned from that to never bark at their fellow Jew, to never say things right at their fellow Jew, let alone speak Lashon Hara. So what does that mean? Normally we have a concept like this. There's domain. Domain is something that does not move like a rock. There's tzomeach. Tzomeach is a plant, which is a little bit farther up from that, a little bit better than that. It's something that grows. There's a chai, that's an animal that's able to move, and we all get that as well. And the top level is a medaber. A person, right, who's able to walk and move and talk, etc., and things like that. Normally, in order to bring things to the next level, a chai eats a medaber. A chai, I'm sorry, a medaber eats a chai. So a person eats an animal and brings it up to its level. A chai eats the tzomeach, the grasses and things like that, and it brings it up to its level. The tzomeach takes out of the ground, and since it grows from there, it's as if it's taking from the domain level. If you eat an animal that has grass in its stomach together with the dirt, you have the ability to bring up a domain, tzomeach and chai, all the way up to your level of a medaber. You can bring it up to your level. This guy, however, the chai is greater than him. So even though normally a medaber eats a chai, a person eats the animal, here the animal eats the person. Since you spoke Lashon Hara and you're less than a dog, the dog gets to eat the person. That's the concept, says the Alshech. And that's why the punishment is just so. That's the biggest chait that you could think of, so to speak, the biggest insult that you can think of that a person would get. Okay, let's go to another one. Anybody done Bava Vasra, the first parak? Anybody know, you know what? Rabbi Yonasan. Remember Rabbi Yonasan and Rebbe? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi refused to give food to poor people during a famine. Why wouldn't he give it to them? He said, I'm only giving to Talmidei Chachamim. Only Talmidei Chachamim get to have my food. They don't have, and nobody else. I'm not giving to anyone else. Remember, Rebbe was extremely wealthy. He probably had enough money to feed everyone, right? But he said, I'm not giving money to an Am Haaretz. If you want my food, you have to prove you're a Talmidei Chachamim. So there was one guy, Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram, who didn't want to say that he was a Talmidei Chachamim. He didn't want to tell everybody how big of a Talmidei Chachamim he was. So he went to Rebbe, and he begged Rebbe for food. Rebbe said to him, do you know how to learn? He said, no. He said, Rebbe, feed me like a cat, like an orev, like a raven, and feed me like a dog. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi gave him food. Later on, Rebbe regretted it. He said, I shouldn't have given him food. And his son said to him, Rabbi Shimon Rebbe said to him, maybe it was Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram, who was just faking it. He was really a big Talmid Chacham, and Rebbe felt a little bit better. Pella, an absolute Pella of a Gemara. What did Rabbi Yonasan Amram mean by the orev and the dog? Seemingly, and this is what Rashi says over there, the raven and the dog both sinned on the teva, and yet still were allowed to stay on the teva until afterward. What do I mean they sinned on the teva? We all know that the orev, the kelev, and Noach's son, Ham, were all together with their wives on the teva, even though they weren't supposed to be. So even though they sinned, they were still allowed to be fed. Right? They still got food. So said Rabbi Yonasan Amram, even though I sinned, you should give me food. That's the Pasha Pshat. That's what it seems to say from there over there. Says the Chassam Sofer, unbelievable. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said, the reason why I don't want to give the Amir Rasim food, this is what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi held, the reason why I don't want to do it is because they had no chelik in Torah. They had no chelik in Torah whatsoever. So what Rabbi Yonasan Amram was saying is that you're right, we might not learn Torah, we might not understand Torah, us Ami Aratzim, but we still have the means to do one of two things. We could support Torah. We could have the means to be able to pay for someone else to learn Torah. See, even though I can't do it myself, or I can't do anything myself, that's fine. I can pay someone else to learn Torah, and if he learns Torah, that takes the place, so to speak, of me, so at least he'll be able to learn in my place. So that's one thing that you could do. That's something you can do. And there's something else you could do. If you're a poor person and you can't afford to pay for someone else to learn Torah for you, you can't do that. It's something else. You could stay quiet when Talmidei Chachamim are speaking, even if you feel like they're wrong or they're saying something stupid, and you could be quiet and say, no, I'm not going to say anything. I'm sure the Talmidei Chachamim know what they're doing. I'm going to let the Talmidei Chachamim deal with this themselves. I might think differently, but I don't know enough. That's the two things that you could do. You could either honor the Talmidei Chachamim by paying for them to learn. And if you can't afford it, then what you could do is you could stop yourself from saying something improper about Talmidei Chachamim. And then in that way, you're honoring Talmidei Chachamim in such a fashion, you should be rewarded to be like a Talmid Chacham. You're showing that honor. You're showing that you would like to be a Talmid Chacham even if you can't do it. The idea is the raven, the orev, that ultimate schus. What was the one thing that you know about ravens in Tanakh? Fed Eliyahu HaNavi. Even though the ravens couldn't do what Eliyahu HaNavi did, so to speak, they gave food to Eliyahu HaNavi so Eliyahu HaNavi wouldn't starve. They were mefarnes Talmidei Chachamim. So he said, feed me like a raven because I'm the mefarnes of Talmidei Chachamim. Feed me like a raven because I give parnasa. And even if I didn't give parnasa to Talmidei Chachamim, said Rabbi Yonasan Amram, feed me like a dog. The dog didn't bark at the Jews in Mitzrayim. It knows when to be quiet. I know when to be quiet. Said Rabbi Yonasan Amram, I don't agree with you, Rebbe. I don't agree with your decision. I don't agree with what you're saying, that me, as an Am Haaretz, I can't eat your food. I don't agree with you. But you know what? I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to say that you're wrong. I figure the Talmidei Chachamim know certain things, so let them decide. Since I'm quiet like a dog, reward me like a dog. Reward me in that way and give me the food, at least like that dog. That's the concept over here. That's Rabbi Yonos ben Amram's idea. I have either supported or honored Talmidei Chachamim, and therefore I should be fed like a Talmid Chacham. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi heard the argument and gave him food. That was the concept, says the Chassam Sofer. Amazing, amazing pshat. Now, we only have 3 minutes. I'm just going to say, the Ramban says, Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li. You should be people of Kedusha. People of Kedusha, don't eat these foods. These types of foods cause improper thoughts to come into our heads. These types of foods are something that's going to be something that's called metamtem es alev. It hurts your heart. It doesn't do things good for you. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says an amazing pshat over here of what Basav Estei Trefa refers to, about everything that refers to a sadeh is evil, like Kayin is a man of the field. Esav is a man of the field. Anytime you mention sadeh, right, even though we obviously have people that are farmers and people that are shepherds, nonetheless, sadeh refers to something that's evil. We can't deal with such things. But I want to tell you the following. The Ma'aril has a reward that's mentioned over here that's truly remarkable. He says, if we keep ourselves kadosh and we stay away from these things that make us tameh, we're going to be zocha to just throw these trefas to the dogs. You know what that means? We will have so much parnasa ourselves, we won't feel the need to sell the trefas to non-Jews. Halachically, you don't have to give trefas to dogs. You could sell it to a non-Jew and make a little bit of a profit off it. Now, granted, you can't make that your main source of business, but if you're shechting and you come out with a trefa, you can sell a trefa to the non-Jews. You can do that. You'll make less money, whatever it is, but at least you'll do something with it. You'll get something out of it. You won't be able to, you can't make as much, but that's what you can do. Hold on a second, he says. He'll want to throw this to the dogs. Why? You'll be so wealthy. You'll have so much money if you do this properly. If you keep yourself away from trefas and nevelas and all these tummy things, that when you'll be so wealthy that when a trefa actually comes up, you'll say, Baruch Hashem! I'm mekayim the mitzvah of vakelev tashlichuno so, even though it's not a real mitzvah. I'm mekayim the idea of I'm going to throw it to the dogs instead of selling it to a non-Jew. That's the concept. We'll accept the loss of our money happily from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if it's a din from Shemayim, instead of trying to salvage something. Says the Ma'aril, what a bracha that we can get. What a bracha that we have the ability to do such a thing. Okay, we'll stop with that for right now, guys. What we basically did was, going all the way through, is we explained what the reward was for the dogs. We explained Rashi and the other Rishonim. We then went through the Malbim and Rav Sadia going to explain what doggy heaven is. We went through the Chavetz Chaim about Lashon Hara. We spoke with the Baal HaTurim, the Smichas HaParshios, the Shach, the Torah Tumimah, the Torah Shleima, and the Alshich. Then we went through Rabbi Yonos ben Amram with the Chassam Sofer, and we ended off with this idea from the Ramban and the Ma'aril. Shkach, everybody. Have a good Shabbos. Amen.